Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Lord would help me this morning. I'd like to preach from that verse. I'm so happy to feel the presence of God in this place. And I appreciate your all's prayers and preparation for this service, not just getting ready, but praying and seeking the Lord, because you know, church is all about having the presence of God here. This is the house of God. And we shouldn't be surprised if he shows up, but sometimes I think he's here and we don't know he's here. Just kind of like I visited some people and they ignored me. You know, I'm not saying they're being mean, but they just did. Maybe it was their cell phone or whatever else that kind of captured their attention. But we sure don't need to be distracted from God. He's here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to preach on Christ and the new creature. Amen. And I appreciate how the Lord changes people's lives. As word creature might be more identified with something that we look at as monstrous, but really all that it means is a new creation. That God remakes us and makes us into new people, different than what we were in the past. But who can do this thing? I know sometimes there are ladies that'll say, well, I'll get a hold of this man and I will change him eventually, only to find out that they cannot change him. It may be even vice versa, where that a man will say, well, she needs a little work, but you know, I'll talk to her and with my good influence, she'll be a better person, only to find out that that's not necessarily so. But there is one that is able to change people's lives totally and completely, even to the point where that they would be considered in the scriptures as a new creation. Now this, as I can see it, is the only person that is recorded that can actually change a life. Jesus Christ. Amen. I realize there can be some people that are good influences upon us, and there are folks that are evil influences. But as far as someone that can absolutely transform someone from what they used to be into somebody that's totally different, same face, same voice, but a different person, there's only one that I know of that can do this, Jesus Christ. I understand that there are artists that can take a blank piece of canvas and some colors and paints and change that canvas into a bright, colorful, beautiful picture. But only Jesus can take a marred, filthy, evil, wicked individual and change them into someone that is bright and clear and holy and moral and sanctified. I understand that there are people that can take junk and through welding and so on, an old car can become a new car, put some Bondo and paint and rebuild the transmission and the engine and so on, make it run and make it worth something. But I'll tell you right now, we were unfixable. Amen. We were completely and totally destroyed. Amen. But Jesus can take the junk of humanity and turn them into something that's brand new. I know that they can take that car, make it look somewhat new, but Jesus transforms us into something that is new indeed. Praise the name of the Lord. This Christ that I'm preaching to you about created the worlds. He had a glory and a relationship with His Father in heaven that was before time began. In eternity past, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost lived in complete love and union. And they themselves enjoyed the presence of each other. Amen. The Bible says God is love. And the only way you can love is to have somebody else there. Amen. The Father loved the Son loved the Holy Ghost loved the Father, and they all three loved each other. Praise God. They had joy in that perfect relationship, but I'll just tell you, the Creator God decided that He would indeed create others to enjoy the great fellowship that they had themselves. You ever read of the joy of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. God has great fellowship and has great joy in enjoying the Father, the Trinity enjoys each other. Amen. And so the only thing good about enjoyment, the only thing better about it is if you involve more people. And so angels were created and then people were created. Praise God. And then there was a demonic angel. He wasn't a demon then, but Lucifer decided he had a better plan. He'll center everything around him. And so disharmony came into the heavens. Pride caused the fall. And Satan came about with war against God. It just is, amen, somebody can blow a bunch of dust away from them by a wave of their hand, Almighty God. Amen. Cast Satan out of heaven, and he was defeated. Yes, indeed. God made man. His plan was to include man in this wonderful fellowship that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost enjoy. The love of God, the blessing of God. And in the cool of the day, God and Adam took a walk in the Garden of Eden. And oh, you talk about joy. You talk about the most blessed things that could ever happen. Because listen, folks, when you have fellowship with God, that's what you was made for. The Bible tells us what we was made for. We was made for His pleasure. Now you just think about that. God gets pleasure out of us. I know it's hard to realize, but God gets pleasure out of man, and man was created to give God pleasure. The devil saw that. The devil hated that. And so he tried to get involved and did get involved and tempted the woman, and she fell, and then the man fell, and all of their unborn children fell. Now sin has come into this world. Sin has come into the heart of mankind. He is no longer a pleasure of God. If any man draws back, the Bible says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And so when people have sin in their lives, God has no delight in them. In fact, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Yes, there's a reason why some people feel like it's a doom and gloom world. It is doom and gloom. Because God is angry with the wicked every day. All the sin that was brought into this world through Adam and Eve's first sin, and every sin that rules in the hearts of mankind separates man from God and takes away the pleasure that God originally intended for man to be involved in. God wanted to enjoy your fellowship, and God wanted you to enjoy Him. And I'll just tell you the truth. Sin is a miserable substitute for God. Sin is a miserable substitute for the peace and the love and the joy that somebody feels when they really know God and there's nothing between them and God and His relationship. It's just like one backslider told Brother Lee Strickler. He saw this girl in town, and he said, I want to ask you something. Said, now you've gone out of church. You went out away from God. Said, are you happy? She said, Brother Lee, I'm just going to tell you right now, I have never felt happiness like I felt when I was right with God and able to worship God and pray around the altar at your church as a young lady. Listen, if you young people get to feeling like the devil's going to treat you better than God, I'm just going to tell you the devil is a liar. Amen. You think that sin's going to treat you better than God. The devil is a liar. You hear me? And if there's anybody here that says, boy, I'll tell you, I would like to go to heaven, but I just don't want to be a Christian and serve God because I have a feeling I have to give up all the fun stuff that there is. Let me tell you something. There's greater joys in serving God than there ever will be in serving the devil. You can't get drunk enough, high enough, amen, or have any wicked pleasure enough to even come. There's no comparison between that and what God gives. God gives pleasures forevermore. That's what the Bible says. We were created for His pleasure. And sin came in the picture, and that destroyed whatever enjoyment man can have in the presence of God. You say, boy, I'll tell you, when I go to church and God's presence come down, I don't feel comfortable. You know why? Because God's lovingly convicting you, wanting to draw you away from your sin so that you can have a relationship with Him. Because listen, sin will eventually lead you to an eternity in hell. There is no pleasure for a sinner in eternity. You're not going to have a party in hell. There is no party. There's not even a drop of water in hell. But the pleasures of heaven start here on earth because we get to fellowship with God. We get to enjoy God. Because people that are right with God, all of a sudden, when they go to church and the Spirit of God falls, it's not, boy, I feel uncomfortable. It's, boy, I feel wonderful. Thank God He's here. He took my sins away. There's no barrier between me and God. We have the joys of the Garden of Eden and all of the pleasures that a person can have in the presence of God are available for somebody who's had their sins washed away. Amen. So man fell, but you know, the promise came. The promise came that of the seed of the woman, there would come a Redeemer, and Jesus Christ is His name. Praise God, Christ came into this world. He was the Creator, but then all of a sudden He became a little baby. Amen. He was the one that made everything, and His job was a carpenter. Amen. He was the one that spoke the worlds into existence. And then He had to learn to speak Himself as a little child. He was the one that had all power. And then He was as weak as a newborn child that couldn't hold up His head. Listen, that's quite an amazing thing. But you know why He stepped in here? Because you couldn't save yourself. You could not change your situation. You will be bound to sin without Jesus Christ until the day you die. And the only way to remedy that is for Jesus to come into our world and live just like a man. He was a man, not just like a man. He did it. He went through everything we went through. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There was no stain of sin in His life. He was pure and holy and unselfish and loving in perfection. Amen. Everything He did was just right. Amen. When He came into the ministry part of His life, amen, He walked through the streets of Jerusalem, and you could tell what happened by the trail of good things that had taken place. Yeah. Some people, when they come in, they're going to cause strife. They're going to cause a fight. They're going to cause problems. Hey, man, there are some folks, when they just show up, you know there's going to be some drama. But when Jesus showed up, yes, there were some dramatic things happened. But if you'd have followed along the trail where Jesus was, hey, man, you'd have seen blind men, hey, man, that was looking at flowers and said, I've never seen this before. Hey, man, you see a leper that was hugging his family and say, I hadn't been able to be around them, amen, in so many years because of my disease. I was quarantined outside. And here I'm out. I'm back with my mom and my wife and my children. I can hug them again. If you followed along the trail that Jesus had, you would see this lame man jumping around and playing games like he wanted to when he watched all these other kids play. Why? Because Christ came into this world to set us free from things that we could not set ourselves free from. Amen. Another woman that looks very, very completely, totally, wonderfully happy. You say, what's she so happy about? Well, she was insane. She was possessed with seven devils, but Jesus cast those devils out. Take a look at all the things that happened. Jesus interrupted funerals and sent the family back rejoicing. All these things happened to show the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this world hated him. You know why? Because this is a wicked old world. And every sinner has that same rebellion against God that showed up the day Jesus died upon a cross. When they had a choice between just a common thief and murderer and Jesus, they chose the murderer and let Jesus die upon a cross. But the plan was higher and bigger and greater. Because you see, this is a simple fact. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I sinned, you've sinned. Wages of sin is not only physical death, but spiritual death and an eternity in hell. And the only way for us to get free from that sentence is for somebody to take our place. And so Jesus' hands were nailed to a cross. Jesus' feet were nailed to a cross. Jesus' head was crowned with thorns. Jesus' body was bruised. Jesus' back was plowed like a field with a whip and blood and bruises. The Bible says his visage, that's his face was marred more than any man. There's never been somebody that went through what Jesus did, but why? Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Why did Jesus go to the cross? There had to be a substitute. If in any wise man could ever get back to where that it could be them walking together and having pleasure together, somebody had to take care of sin. Somebody had to take care of the judgment of sin. Somebody had to do it. And Jesus stepped out of eternity, the Creator, the one that was worshipped of angels, that had perfect joy and fellowship with the Father and the Holy Ghost, stepped out of eternity, lived a sinless life, did not have to die, but went to the cross willingly to take our place. And there upon the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Never been out of fellowship with God. Never knew what it was like to have the wrath of God, but there it was. He experienced it so you wouldn't have to, so I wouldn't have to. All he'd ever known was the pleasure and the smile of God, the blessed fellowship. But all we was going to know was the judgment and the wrath of God. Jesus took the wrath so we could take the pleasure. Jesus allowed himself to feel the displeasure of God so we could move back into the place of what we was created for. God wanted to create us so that we could have pleasure in fellowship with him, and he could have pleasure in fellowship with us. Jesus took God's wrath so we could have God's pleasure. He felt God's anger so we could feel the joy of the Lord. He took the guilt of sin so we could feel forgiveness of sin. He took the stain so we could be clean. That's the Christ that I'm preaching to you about. Amen. The Christ. Because this one that died such a horrible death stayed in the grave all night, Friday night, and all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night. But on the third day, hallelujah, he came out of the grave, very much alive, hallelujah, and he lives forevermore. Death has no more power over him. He came out of the grave, and therefore, everybody that dies in Jesus Christ has hope beyond this world. When we have our funerals, yes, we have sorrows, but the Bible says we sorrow not as others without hope. We've got hope beyond this grave because we believe Jesus died and rose from the dead and conquered death, my friend. We have a great hope ahead. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for his hope that he's given us. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. He died and rose again and ascended up on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's a Christ. But there needs to be a conversion, because it says if any man be in Christ, that means there's a lot of people out of Christ. They're in themselves. They're in sin. They're the servants of sin. You say, I'm not the servant of sin. Okay, well, quit. Stop it. Go ahead. You can't quit drinking. You're the servant of drinking. If you can't quit being immoral, you're the servant of it. Oh, yes. You have a master. It's not Jesus. You have an evil, wicked master. I'm just going to tell you, there may be pleasure in it for a season, but there's an eternity of sorrow and heartache. Oh, yes. Amen. It's not going to take 3 days for you to realize that hell is a horrible place. 5 seconds after death, when all your tears are licked away, amen, by the flames and the fire, and all of a sudden you're immediately crying out for something to drink, something to eat, a breath of fresh air, something. Some little bit of point of where you could rest, sit down, do something. But there's no rest in hell. There's no drink in hell. There's no comfort in hell. There's no hope in hell. And there's a lot of people out of Christ. They're into sin. They're wrapped up in it. They're controlled by it. That's what dominates their life. That's what controls them. And it's going to control them all the way up to an eternity lost. The good news is you don't have to be in sin. Hallelujah. You can be in Christ. There can be a conversion. There can be a change. Amen. When people turn from their sins, that's repentance, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation right there. And you move from sin to Christ. You move from darkness to light. You move from being a child of hell to being a child of God. You move from somebody that's destined to suffer forever to somebody that's going to enjoy the blessings of eternal life in glory forever. Oh, yes. It's like this. I read a story one time. A man that was a shepherd had a ewe that had a lamb that died. And then there was another ewe that died in giving birth to her little lamb. So there was a living lamb, a dead mother, and a living mother and a dead lamb. And so he tried to take this lamb from this other ewe that had died and give it to this one that had lost its little lamb. And it wouldn't take it for some reason. I don't know why. Smelled of it, wasn't hers. And so this shepherd took and that dead lamb, he took and skinned it and put the skin and the wool of that dead lamb on the living lamb. And when the ewe smelled of it, she took it as her own because it smelt like hers. Amen. I know it's not a perfect illustration, but when we get in Christ, hallelujah, Jesus is God's only begotten Son. Amen. But he takes us. Amen. It's like we get wrapped up in Jesus. And because we're wrapped up in Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness becomes our righteousness, we can be accepted by God the Father. And once again, the thing that had been broken can be restored. And now we can enjoy the presence of God. And God can enjoy us again because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We get in Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Also, I'm going to talk about this new creature. That's a conversion. But then there's a new creation. God doesn't just, you know, wrap us up. He changes us. Listen, adoption is a legal thing that is a wonderful thing where that a child becomes the actual legal child of that couple, those parents, just like Brandy and Harold and Jeannie. But God not only legally adopts us, He changes our nature. He makes us into one of His children. Amen. He changes us to where the nature of God is placed within us. And old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. In other words, there's a lot of people here that used to love sinful things. They really did. They loved it. There are people here that loved drugs. Brother Danny, did you love drugs? You loved them, didn't you? You didn't want to go a day with or a week without it, did you? 2 days at the most you could go. You loved drugs. Do you love drugs today? Do you hate drugs? You know what happened? He became a new creature. He got in Christ. And when he moved in Christ, old things passed away. He got some new loves. He loved going to church. He loved praying. He loves reading the Bible. It changes everything about. Amen, Sister Janie. Amen. If I may bring up this, that you used to love alcohol. They loved it. But do you love it now? No, she don't love it. But do you love it when the Spirit of God falls in this church? Amen.
I sure do.
Hallelujah. Amen. Who can testify that Sister Janie enjoys the presence of God? Amen. What happened? happens when you get in Christ. God changes things. You're a new creature. Old things pass away. The things you used to love, now you hate. You're ashamed that it ever happened. Amen. But now you're glad that you're a Christian. You can walk with God, talk with God, be a blessing. Amen. Brother Steve, did you love any of that sin that you was doing before you got saved? Amen. Could you break away from it? Couldn't break away from it? Amen. You tried?
Yeah. Couldn't do it.
Do you want it now?
I don't want any part of it.
Hallelujah. Amen. What do you want now?
I want to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You understand what I'm telling you? Amen. This Christ that came from eternity and stepped into time and died on a cross and rose from the dead. If you ever get that experience where you're in Christ, it changes everything. Amen. It changes the things you love and hate. It changes your habits. It changes what your time is given for. Amen. You're a new creation. Brother Dwayne, amen. Did the Lord change you when you got saved? Glory to God.
Well, Brother Lloyd, I was a pretty sorry person. I didn't really realize that I was, but I was a pretty sorry person. And immediately, the people that I hated, I loved. Wes' brother, I couldn't hardly stand. I went to the family gathering with him, and I hugged him and told him I loved him, and I meant it. My, I'm thankful to be saved. I love football. I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't give you a nickel for every football in the whole world right now. I'm thankful to be saved.
Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. That's what happens when you really get saved. Brother Dave Fetner, come on out here. I understand you was a sinner one time, wasn't you? Amen. Was you a sinner one time? Amen. Was you pretty bound by sin? Amen. But did the Lord set you free?
Glory to God. Go ahead.
I was bound by sin, but the Lord set me free. Brother Dwayne loved football. I loved rodeo, and I slept it, eat it, drank it, went to them, was involved in them. That was all that I thought about. And I'm kind of like Brother Dwayne. The night I got saved, I wouldn't give you a nickel for all the rodeos in the world. I'd rather have Jesus.
All right. Glory to God, Brother Shaw. He was all involved in baseball, wanted to be in the major leagues, but the Lord changed. And I'm going to tell you, folks, amen, you're sitting in a group of miracles right here. Amen. They could not get Danny Thrasher free. How many drug rehabs was he in? Do you know? 2 30-day rehabs, did they set you free? Amen. But how long did it take Jesus to set you free? One morning Jesus set you free, and that was it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, if you move out of sin into Jesus, that changes everything. If any man, I don't care who they are, I don't care what hatred they're bound by, amen, what habit they're bound by, I don't care how addictive that they are, I want you to know, if any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Praise the name of Jesus. There's no need for anybody here to go away wondering, could Jesus change my life? I declare to you, just as sure as Jesus died on a cross and rose from it, the dead, he could change your life. He could deliver you from whatever sin and bondage that you've been bound by. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. This whole room is filled with people. Amen. It's different stuff. But now all of a sudden, we have new desires, new longings, new things. Amen. Could we all stand? Praise God. Amen. The pleasures that we used to love, they're gone. But there's a new pleasure. Don't let the devil tell you that getting saved does away with pleasure. No. Amen. Getting saved just makes you where you really enjoy the pleasures of God. That's what you're created for. Amen. You wasn't created for all this other stuff. You was created for Jesus to be your master and you to have fellowship with God, because that was his plan. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a hell. There is a judgment. There is suffering. But you don't have to go there. You don't have to be lost. Jesus died upon the cross. Church, would you raise your hands and just thank the Lord for salvation? Lord, I praise you for salvation. Lord, I'm grateful for the Holy Ghost. I'm grateful for the blessings of the Lord and how you changed our lives and how you moved upon us. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Church, would you pray with me just a little bit? I felt the Holy Ghost here this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, you're bound by sin, you can move out of sin and into Christ. How do you do that? You come to this altar, you kneel down, you ask God's forgiveness, you pray to him. That's, and just like you'd be asking me to forgive you, only it's higher, more holy. You go to God and you talk to him. You speak to him. He hears you. I want you to know he hears you. Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can forgive you of your sins. And you can start a wonderful relationship that's real joy, true joy. It's what you was made for, friend. You was made to have pleasure in the presence of God. That's what you was made for. I think it's time to get sin out of the way. Move from sin to Jesus, the Savior. Hallelujah. And so you confess your sins. You say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did these things. Can't even name them all, but please forgive me of my sins. Deliver me from these. I'll turn from them with all my heart, but I need you to change my life. Move in me. Move all around me. I want to be in Christ. I want you to change my life. In another place, it's called being born again. I know that phrase has been, you know, worn out to where that it don't even hardly mean much to people. But I'll tell you, when Jesus said it to Nicodemus, it was a radical thing. How can that be? You know what? Same God that created the worlds can make you a new creation. Hallelujah. The same God that took nothing and made everything can take you and change you around. Amen. Better than any artist paints a canvas, better than anybody that's creative enough to take an old wrecked junk car and make it look nice. This God I'm talking about, this Christ I'm talking about, can take your life and turn it all around. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask, is there someone here today? Say, brother, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to be saved. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to get right with him. And I want to have a relationship with God. I want to forsake this stuff I've been doing. I want a new love. I want a new love. Is there anybody that would raise your hand and say, I want to be that new creature, that new creation? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here? Anyone here? Hey, I would like to know my sins are forgiven. I want to ask you here, please answer me in your mind. If you died right now, where would you go, heaven or hell? And if you said you'd go to heaven, what do you base that on? Tell me. And well, I belong to a church. Nope, that's not the right answer, folks. And well, I'm a pretty good person. That's not the right answer either. And well, I think God understands. No, he doesn't. The only way that I'm going to make it to heaven and anybody else is going to make it to heaven is if we repent of our sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we're in Christ. That's the only way we're going to make it to heaven, friend. Just being a church member, being baptized years ago, or even praying a sinner's prayer years ago doesn't do it. You've got to be in Christ right now. In Christ this very day. I'm asking you again. Are you in Christ today? Are you in Christ right now? So if you died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? Where would you go? Because you're heading somewhere. And we want you to go to heaven. We want you to be saved. Is there anyone that would raise your hand and say, I want to repent of my sins and believe upon Jesus and be saved? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Well, church, I'm happy that we're saved. I think the only thing that could increase our joy is if we were able to get more people saved. Now, could we come around the altar and ask God to deal with sinners and deal with people so that we could have more people saved and increase the joy, not only of earth, but of heaven? And sinner friend, if you're here today and you're lost, backslider, you're away from God, we invite you to come up here with us and pray and seek the Lord. He can make you a new creation. He can change your life. I know a lot of churches, a lot of religions don't really talk about that, but there's a life-changing experience. God bless you. Somebody.